more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. When you're a kid, what happens on the playground stays on the playground. Unless, of course, what happens on the playground is an injury. And that's when parents often get involved. And in the case of the two couples at the heart of the play, God of Carnage, what happens when the parents get involved is probably worse than what happened on the playground in the first place. God of Carnage opens this week and is the debut production by Umbrella Group Milwaukee, a group which features some names who are veterans of the Milwaukee theater scene. We're joined in Studio C1 by director Bo Johnson and stage manager Aaron Eggers, along with actors Libby Amato, Anna Figlisthaler, and Jason Will. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you for having us, Mitch.
Well, let's start with this production that will be opening soon. God of Carnage was originally a French play, if I have that right, but the dynamic it portrays has not been unfamiliar to people in this country.
Yeah, Yasmina Reza is a French-born playwright, and she crafted the play, and then it was translated by Christopher Hampton, who is an English playwright and translator for the British stage, and he retranslated it for American audiences, and it went to Broadway with a very famous production with James Gandolfini, Hope Davis, Marcia Gay Harden, and Jeff Daniels. And I think people found it relatable, obviously, because the instinct to defend your child is universal.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think anybody in any country would see themselves in this play because it's about basically getting together and saying, your kid did this, and, oh, yeah, well, my kid had a right, and then just, you know, getting defensive and argumentative about it.
And from there, it kind of gets a little absurd. Is that a good adjective to describe it?
There's definitely an element of absurdity to the play, just in the way that everything is slightly heightened. It's not necessarily a realistic play. At the same time, the things that happen and the way that the people behave is very much realistic and hopefully very relatable to anyone who sees it.
It fits really the definition of farce, but it's kind of absurdist farce, or at mm-hmm. least a modern variation of farce, because farce is about people that live by a certain social norm, and then an incident happens that creates that norm or that facade to sort of fade away, and you see something more true about who they are in a funny way.
What attracted you to it? Was it that sense of the universal and at the same time the it is a funny play.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of dark humor, and I enjoy the fact that these characters are coming from a place of deep emotions, and the way that they react is heightened, like Libby said, and so these emotions and these reactions can spin on a dime, and they seem absurd in some regards. But if you really look at how they're reacting, it makes total sense. It's just bombastic, I guess.
Well, and we've been kind of talking around what's gone on here. The couples get together. These are two married couples that get together to discuss what has taken place on the playground. What has taken place on the playground?
Well, you know, that's probably a good segue to just go right into this scene, because we'll do a short cutting of it. And I should say that one of the cast members, Matt Wickey, couldn't join us today, so I'm filling in for him. I'm directing the show normally. But what has happened on the playground is mentioned right in this scene, which is within the first probably 5 minutes of the play. Mm-hmm. And you start to get a feeling in this scene of kind of how these people are trying to get along with each other and how they might not get along with each other in the very near future.
And briefly set up who each of you is going to be in this scene, if you would.
Right. I'll be filling in for Matt, as I said, and playing the role of Michael, who is the husband of Veronica.
And I'll be playing Veronica, and it's their apartment, their household that they've invited the other couple to.
And their son is Henry.
Yes.
Yes. I will be playing Annette, and part of the couple who has come into a different couple's home, and our son, Benjamin, is the instigator, I guess, of the problem.
Husband, Alan, to Annette.
Yes.
That was Jason that said that.
Yeah. All right. So let's hear it.
Okay.
We appreciate the fact that you're trying to calm the situation down rather than exacerbate it.
Frankly, it's the least we can do.
Yes.
Not at all. How many parents standing up for their children become infantile themselves? If Henry had broken two of Benjamin's teeth, I'm not certain Alan and I would have been so broad-minded about it.
Oh, of course you would.
No, not at all certain. Mm.
Oh, yes. Because we all know it could have easily been the other way around.
So what does Benjamin have to say about it? How does he view the situation?
He's not saying much. I think he's still slightly in shock.
He understands that he's disfigured his playmate?
No, he does not understand that he's disfigured his playmate.
Why are you saying that? Benjamin understands very well.
He understands he's behaved like a thug. He does not understand that he's disfigured his playmate.
You don't care for the word, but the word is, unfortunately, accurate.
My son has not disfigured your son.
Your son has disfigured my son. Come back at 5 and have a look at his mouth and teeth.
Temporarily disfigured.
The swelling on his lip will go down, and as far as his teeth, take him to the best dentist. I'm prepared to chip in.
That's what the insurance is for. What we'd like is for the boys to make up, so this sort of thing never happens again.
Let's arrange a meeting.
Yes, that's the answer.
Should we be there?
They don't need to be coached. Just let them do it. Man to man.
Man to man? Alan, don't be ridiculous. Having said that, we don't necessarily have to be there, do we? It would probably be better if we weren't.
The question isn't whether we should be there or not. The question is, do they want to talk to one another? Do they want to have a discussion?
Henry wants to.
What about Benjamin?
It's no use asking his opinion.
But it has to come from him.
Benjamin has behaved like a hooligan. We're not interested in what mood he's in.
If Benjamin is forced to meet Henry in a punitive context, I can't see the results would be very positive.
Madam, our son is a savage. The hope for any kind of spontaneous repentance would be fanciful. Right, I'm sorry. I have to get back to the office. You stay, Annette. You'll tell me what you've decided. I'm no use whichever way you cut it. Women always think you need a man. You need a father, as if they'd be any help at all. Men are dead weight. They're clumsy and maladjusted. Oh, you can see the F train from here. That's great.
I would just like to say that I feel uncomfortable on behalf of all of you.
I hope that's a good thing.
It is a very good thing, especially because it is fiction. So these couples get together to discuss this event in a way that is more civil, ostensibly, than how their kids would be discussing it. That is, of course, not exactly what happens.
No, it devolves very quickly. Well, not very quickly, but it devolves into a lot of childishness on their part.
Right. But I like the fact that you keep using the word civil to point out how they get together, because I think civilization is a huge theme in this play, especially from my character's perspective. She's very cognizant of civilization and has deep-seated beliefs that that is the way of the world and that is how we will win in the end, is by being civil and by standing up for decency and moral high ground.
But at the same time, I gather one of your foils in this play believes very deeply that that there is a god of carnage who keeps that from
very
happening.
Very much so, yes.
I was reading a review of the Broadway production of this play, and the line that stuck with me was what it described as that cathartic release of watching other people's marriages go boom. Is that something that you feel as you wrap your heads around these characters you are inhabiting?
I think that's absolutely true as well. I think for us and hopefully for the audience as well, yes, it will be cathartic. And what's that wonderful German word?
Schadenfreude.
That's the one. Yes. There will be a little bit of that, of being able to, you know, enjoy seeing how these couples start to fall apart.
Well, I think even in rehearsals, we've seen that with the other pairing, watching each other's marriages. And I mean, it's built into the script, the judgment of each other's marriages and the flaws. And they're both very flawed marriages. But they have their strengths as well. They have their alliances. They have their supports on occasion. Mm-hmm.
I think for the audience, too, there is also an enjoyment of watching it at some moments where things happen where an audience member will say, oh, if only I could do that sometimes, you know, where in the real world where we maintain that civil facade and that, you know, thing that isn't farce but is the social norm, and then watching this and go, oh, they broke through that window. Okay, that's good.
Talk about the staging of this play. What's the set look like? Does it all play out in a living room?
Yes. It does. Yes. That's probably a good time to mention that it is being staged at the 10th Street Theater, which is on 10th Street, just south of Wisconsin. It's where In Tandem makes their home. So if people know In Tandem Theater, that's where you'll find us.
So the other headline here is that this production marks the debut of Umbrella Group Milwaukee. There's a lot of pressure on the first play for a group.
Oh, please don't say that.
we're
trying not to think about that.
No, it's going
to
be fabulous.
Thanks, man.
What was the catalyst for the group coming together?
Well, it did sort of build around the decision to produce this show. Anna had liked the show very much and brought it to the group as an idea of something that we might produce.
The first four members of this group were the cast that people will see on stage who got together and read it and wanted to produce it. Then they approached me to direct it, and then we approached Aaron to stage manage it, and the six of us basically became the theater company.
Yeah, and all of this grew out of last summer being involved in King Lear. All six of us were in King Lear at the Alchemist Theater, and Libby and myself helped to produce that with Aaron Kopeck and Erica Case, and I think kind of hit it out of the park last summer. So we can do this again. And so we all have a little bit of background in producing theater and obviously performing in theater and the behind-the-scenes aspect and all of that. So we kind of wanted to form a framework where we could do this on occasion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, a theater company is a lot of hard work. And, you know, last year, Libby and Anna took the brunt of the burden with King Lear. I've produced Who Killed Santa on a regular basis and have done a lot of work on that. And Jason, you've produced in London.
I lived over in London for a time doing my MA studies over there. And during that time was able to act and produce certain plays at fringe theaters in London, the Old Red Lion being one, last year and currently this fall, this summer, for some shows.
And Aaron?
I was the stage manager for King Lear last summer, so I've not produced anything, but I have stage managed and just directed a show with one performance. And
where do you see Umbrella falling in amongst all the other groups that you have worked with and the groups that still exist today?
It is a theater community that supports each other. Every company wants to see the other company succeed.
There's a famous quote from Nagel Jackson when he used to be the artistic director here. A lot of people will realize how old I am because I just said that. But he used to say that theaters are like grapes. They're best when they grow in bunches. Mm-hmm. And in Milwaukee, we have a lot of great bunches. So this is
not saying that other companies were leaving things out. It's you're saying that there's just room for more.
And I think that's a large part of what we'd like to try to do is to not only produce our own work, but have Umbrella Group be an umbrella for other smaller projects that might otherwise not find a place to show their work.
Yeah. There have been a lot of one-off productions in the last few years. I've directed 3 Days of Rain, which was just a one-time independent production, and Fool for Love and a few other things. So there are a lot of young people that could use a business structure that they could come to where they could get donations that would be tax deductible and then just older people that can help them with how to really make a show happen.
As we have this conversation, there's still a little time before opening curtain rises on both this production and, you know, this company, essentially. Mm. Is it an exciting time? Is it a nervous time? What's the adjective you would use to describe where you're at with Umbrella?
I would say yes to both of those things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's all of the above. It is thrilling. This show is very special. This group of people is fantastic. But at the same time, as you so thoughtfully pointed out, there is pressure to do well. And I think artistically we've taken care of that. And we're doing our best on the business side to get the word out and all of that.
And we've been fortunate enough to have a lot of support from the community.
I know there were people from other companies that stepped up during your God of Karaoke.
Our fundraiser, which it was so touching to see so many representatives of the theater community, mm-hmm. not only participating but attending and enjoying themselves, and it was a really fun fundraiser.
Yes, it was.
Well, Bo, Anna, Libby, Jason, Aaron, many successes. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll be back to talk about the next show after this.
Libby Amato, Anna Figlis-Thaler, and Jason Will are three of the four stars of Umbrella Group Milwaukee's God of Carnage, which opens Thursday at In Tandem Theater's 10th Street Theater. Bo Johnson directs and Aaron Eggers is stage manager. The play runs through July 20th, and you'll find a link to more information from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. It is, of course, Umbrella Group's debut performance, and so because of that, and because we're heading into Bastille Days, we'll leave you with a cover of Rihanna's Umbrella by two French pop stars, Canada's Cœur de Pirate and France's Julien Doré. I'm Mitch Teich, and that is all for today's Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10. Fresh air comes your way next.
This fancy scent will never come in between. You're part of my entity, before infinity.
When the wild has took its part, when the world has dealt its cards, if the hand is hard, together we'll mend your heart. Because when the sun shines, we'll shine together. Told you I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be a friend. Took an oath, I must take it.